President Trump plans to return to Texas tomorrow, this time to visit flood victims. He'd been criticized for not doing that, but he tweeted about his trip this morning. He also notably singled out and praised his chief of staff, John Kelly. There had been rumors of discord. And he wrote, there were many big decisions as Congress returned next week. Might the president have a decision of his own on DACA, the deportation deferment for the so-called Dreamers? Sounds like it's time for our Friday Politics Roundtable.
And joining us today, Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you guys.
And Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision, just back from Houston. Hi, Enrique.
Hi, thanks.
And let's start, Enrique, with the potential decision on DACA. This is President Obama's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which granted temporary legal status to young people known as Dreamers. What do you think the president's going to do?
I really don't know. The president said earlier this year that this was an issue close to his heart, that he was struggling to find the right balance between what he called enforcing the laws and dealing with this very delicate, sensitive issue. You know, these young Dreamers, Jeremy, are at the forefront of a new civil rights movement. They are brave. They are determined. They are a voice of the undocumented immigrant community that never really spoke before because they were too afraid. But these kids have confronted their representatives. They are, and we've heard this many times before, as American as any other kid, and they are making meaningful contributions to our society.
Well, Enrique,
so it makes no sense to end the program, Robin.
Well, and Enrique, as you know, it would mean 1,400 workers a day that would be jettisoned if this happened. There are over 107,000 of them, these people who were brought to the U.S. as children. But Rick, as you know, Enrique characterized them one way, but President Trump's core supporters hate the fact that he has not ended this program. The deadline is Tuesday. He could completely end it and jettison 107,000, or he could modify it, or he could ask to push it down the road. But his core supporters want him to end it.
The cross pressures are intense, and a lot of them are going on inside President Trump's head. I've been struck by Enrique mentioned him talking about the tremendous heart he wants to show. He has admitted that he finds this to be a tough call. President Trump doesn't do that very often. He's wrestling with this. He's getting a lot of pressure in one direction from some of the hardliners on immigration, including his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, saying you have to do this. We can't defend it in court. That's the deadline next week. Others are saying, look, it's just a matter of the economy, of compassion, of the quote-unquote right policy. A lot of folks in Congress, including Republicans, are saying push this off. I feel like they're going to move towards some kind of a middle ground. It's not going to be nearly enough. It's not going to be a full protection, maybe some kind of a phasing out, and maybe try to push that deadline back a bit. It's a bit self-imposed by the courts because it's under the threat of this lawsuit that actually the Attorney General of Texas, among others, is involved in. And of course, the disruptive effect of Harvey. There are many undocumented immigrants, we presume, who are now evacuated from their homes. The idea that they would find out while out of their home that they lost that status, that's a pretty unimaginable human side to this.
To your point, Rick, about all of the pressures on the president on this issue, we saw House Speaker Paul Ryan saying today on the question of whether President Trump should end DACA, I actually don't think he should do that. I believe that this is something that Congress has to fix. Enrique, do you see Congress taking up this issue?
Definitely. And just quickly, because Rick mentioned Texas, we have to take into account that Texas has been at the forefront of this anti-immigrant movement. First, their lawsuit against DAPA and DACA during the Obama administration.
This is the parents of the Dreamers, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. SB4, which was supposed to take effect today and didn't, thanks to the court. The fact that now they're trying to pressure the president to end DACA. So that's something we should be considering. And also the necessity, the responsibility Congress has to act on this issue. They tried during the last administration. It didn't get to the Senate. It passed through the House. Now I think there's bipartisan support on both the House and the Senate, and they should vote on it.
Well, Rick, there are even reports today that Republican North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis is drafting a bill called a Conservative Dream Act, which would give permanent residency to the Dreamers. And remember, it's a finite group of people. You had to have come before, I think, 2007. I hope I have that right. But you had to have come within a certain time frame. So it's a finite group. He's calling for permanent residency. What are the political calculations?
Well, there is a political path that involves legislation. You heard a lot of the Republican critics of the president's move when he moved forward with DACA. People who, like Marco Rubio, for instance, said this is the right policy but the wrong way to do it. You should do it through the normal course of business. It actually opens up some possibilities, whether it's the Tillis bill or something else. There's been a lot of talk in Washington about the potential to use this as a piece of a broader piece of immigration reform that would have to include border security and wall funding. I don't know that many Democrats are going to go along with it, but if you roll this up into the broader issue, it becomes part of the bargaining because no one is questioning. Congress could do this. They could codify or repeal DACA and handle the Dreamers in any discreet way that they wanted to. The issue with President Obama, he did it through an executive order. That's why it can get undone as easily as it might be.
Rick, there's a report today that perhaps because of Harvey and the response to Harvey, that some of the questions that we probably would have been talking about this week if it weren't for Harvey, are the answers are being changed, having to do with the you know, potential for a government shutdown coming up and the potential for a default on the debt. How has Harvey changed what is coming up in September in Washington?
It has changed the direction and made everything just a little bit quieter in my estimation. I talked to the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus earlier this week. This is the hardline group of Republican lawmakers. They made it really tough on President Trump from the right. Even he is saying, let's just not have a government shutdown now. This isn't the time to litigate the border wall. Let's just get a clean funding bill through. Let's get the Harvey funding through.
Will President Trump go along with that?
I unclear. He is the only person who is actively talking about a government shutdown for the wall, though. Make clear, fewer and fewer Republicans in Congress are even advocating that. He is the only one. And, you know, my colleague John Carl asked the vice president about this, and he's not taking that threat off the table. But I have a hard time believing he's going to make good on that. I feel like things could actually get to a regular order of business with Harvey and government funding in the next couple of weeks.
Well, it's interesting, Enrique, you were just in Houston, and people there, are, you know, when you talk about these swaps, shutdown for the wall, some people are saying, what about swapping out the money for the wall for Harvey? I mean, what are you hearing? What were you hearing in Houston?
Just the fact that that was being considered, I find it outrageous. And if there's a silver lining to Hurricane Harvey, it is surely the remarkable rescue stories and all the acts of courage and kindness that we have witnessed during the last week. And I think those people feel that, you know, they need their representatives. They need their government officials to support these and to make them feel that they're not alone in this. So any discussions in Washington about playing politics with the
that's what some people are saying. Funds. They're saying don't spend money on the wall, spend it on Harvey.
Exactly.
Harvey recovery,
Of course, and they were talking about $1 billion out of the disaster relief fund being taken out just to start the wall. And I think people there, you know, they're not paying attention to what's going on in Washington right now. They're paying attention to surviving, but they would find that, you know, they will feel betrayed by their officials.
I've also seen a suggestion that instead of building a wall on the border with Mexico, maybe they build a seawall to deal with things like this.
That makes sense.
Rick, on Wednesday, President Trump pitched his tax reform plan on a day when TV was wall-to-wall. Harvey, let's listen to what he said.
So this is our once-in-a-generation opportunity to deliver real tax reform for everyday hardworking Americans. And I am fully committed to working with Congress to get this job done. And I don't want to be disappointed by Congress. Do you understand me?
Now, you can't see it there, but when he said, do you understand me, he was pointing to several Republican members of Congress who were in the front row there at his event. What's going to happen with so-called tax reform?
There's something else you can't see. That's an actual bill. He was criticizing Democrats for blocking his effort. There is no bill. There's no legislation. There's no language on this. This is an enormously complicated task. The administration at first said it would be done by the end of August. We're in September now. Of course, it's not done. They have not really begun the hard work. It hasn't gone through committee. You haven't had a chance for lobbyists and special interests to weigh in. I've always thought there's a glimmer of possibility, if the president is true to his rhetoric, to maybe even get a bipartisan tax package. But that has not been the message that's come out so far out of the White House and on Capitol Hill. Just hard to imagine with everything else Congress has to do that they're going to start pretty much from scratch on a tax bill and succeed in the next stretch of time.
Rick, I just want to
Robin, think about the president's contract with the American voter. During his first 100 days, he said 10 legislative priorities. None of them have been approved so far, and we're 7 months in. So.
Yeah. I just want to ask about the climate in the White House, because before Harvey, that was the storm. You know, people were, you know, shoes were dropping. And we saw the president's tweet this morning praising his chief of staff, Kelly. That followed rumors that he was chafing at being reined in by Kelly. The Washington Post article also cites people saying that Secretary of State Rex Tillerson's departure is imminent and that President Trump is fuming over his economic advisor Gary Cohen still after comments about Charlottesville. Rick, just, you know, as we get through this week and concentration on Harvey, are we going to be seeing any more big changes coming up?
It feels like we're primed for that. You have two cabinet secretaries in General Mattis, as well as Secretary Tillerson, who are chafing at the president and publicly contradicting him. In addition to Gary Cohn, you have a president who, according to that report in the Washington Post, isn't enjoying the kind of cloistered atmosphere that his new chief of staff has put in. Recall, it was only about a week and a half ago that we saw a president give that very political speech in Phoenix, and it seemed like a totally different tone than his Afghanistan speech the day before. We've seen all these different versions of President Trump. And I've had people tell me, look, the true Trump is the Trump that you saw on Tuesday night in Phoenix. He loves that campaign atmosphere.
Right.
He even enjoys the disarray inside his own White House. So I don't think that we're done with turmoil inside that staff.
That's Rick Klein, political director at ABC News, and Enrique Acevedo, a news anchor at Univision. Thanks to both of you.
Yep.
Thank you.